Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about sports.
I like it.
Sweet. Thanks, buddy.
The weekends in the ATL are busy, and there's always plenty of sports to talk about.
Radio on the weekends.
And that's what we're going to do.
Hell yes, we are.
This is the ATL Show, keeping you up to date on all the sports in Atlanta and beyond.
Sports don't stop, even on the weekends. The ATL Show with Abe Gordon is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Abe.
Good afternoon. Happy Sunday here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome in to the Abe TL Show. I'm your host, Abe Gordon, coming to you live from the Kia Studios, and I'm going to be here with you until 6 o'clock Eastern today, so we got plenty of time to get into it. And I'll tell you what, I was putting together some thoughts. I had a long day already, and I wasn't going to be able to do a ton of prep today. So I was putting some thoughts yesterday, right? UFC started early, and I was putting together some thoughts. I went out to the Hawks watch party. Appreciate everyone there at McRae's in Smyrna, the Atlanta Hawks and Mick Ultra and McRae's. It was a fun time out there, and the Hawks lost, but they put up some fight. I had an idea of what I was going to talk about. Now, I woke up early this morning. I was doing a 11.5-mile trail race up at Red Top Mountain. And so I was going through my morning routine a little bit earlier than normal, and I start browsing. And obviously we know there was a huge news dump. Not dump isn't the right term, but a huge piece of news fell overnight. I didn't find out about it until I woke up this morning, but the way I found out about it was on Facebook. And for those of you who are still using Facebook, the algorithm is so scuffed. And it shows me so much stuff that I'm not interested in or is an advertisement or is fake news that I had to double take. I said, that looks like ESPN's official account. It's February 1st. It's not April 1st. Like, they're not, it's not just some graphics person at ESPN who did this. And so then I ran over to Twitter /X/ whatever. And confirm it. And the trade was real. Luka Doncic being traded to the Lakers with AD, Anthony Davis, coming to the Mavericks. And it is a wild, wild story behind this. No one knew about it. I can't believe, of all the people in, like, forget the smaller names, Jalen Hood-Scafino and Kleber, and I get them not maybe figuring it out. Luka having no idea. Anthony Davis having no idea. I can kind of understand AD being blindsided. Luka, you would think, would have been approached about it, but there's some stuff going down in Dallas we're going to have to talk about here. But how do the Lakers pull off a move without LeBron knowing about it? I was told he was the GM. How does he find out at dinner? Now, this does go back because it's not a hidden secret that LeBron has not been happy with AD going back a couple of years. I know Zach Gelb has been all over that. But still kind of came out of nowhere overnight. And boy, the more I look into and read and unravel this story, and we're going to have a couple of opportunities to do it throughout the show today, the more I can't help but think that the Mavericks screwed this one up in a big, big way. And only time will tell if we're going to look at it from that perspective. But boy, this feels like one team got out quite ahead in this deal. I do want to say this, by the way, because I saw a lot of it this morning. Luka Doncic being traded by the Mavericks does not mean the Hawks won that draft day deal. Like, winning something with Trae Young would mean the Hawks won the draft day deal. Trae can't even get to an all-star game, guys. The fact that Luka got moved means nothing. I'm not saying the Hawks lost that deal, but they certainly haven't won it just because he got traded. I still think we're all waiting to see eventually, how we feel about both players and the careers. But that is still a debate and a discussion that will continue. That has not been wrapped up just because he got traded. The same way, and by the way, this is only a discussion here, which means it's not really a discussion. Like, the Mavericks fans have never been like, oh, look at what Trey's doing. I wish we had him. That was never a thing for them. But anyways, that discussion, it didn't end just because Luka Doncic got traded. It's probably a more difficult conversation to equate at this point, because I don't know if winning a title alongside LeBron is the same thing as if you had stayed in Dallas and built them up. So I think it is a different discussion now, but it's certainly not a discussion that's ended. So that's where I stand on that. We're going to talk a lot more about this here in a couple of moments. I want to get a couple things out the way before we continue this Luka and AD situation. And I got Eric Slaughter here with me for the next 30 minutes. I think Dom Turoski is going to join after that. So I'll make sure to get E some thoughts on this deal as well in our next segment. Hawks, like we said, put up a good fight against the Pacers, but it is the continuation of a season-high losing streak. Jalen Johnson, like, the injury, there's only one direction to go at this point, and it's not to try and build up to make a run. That injury had to change your deadline plans. Like, I was listening to Fricky earlier today, and he's like, trade these three bums. See what you can get. And I'm like, grab another suit. I'm like, what? We're not winning a title right now. Like, what are you talking about, dude? Now, if you want to float out like the Brandon Ingram thing, and then if you decide to re-sign him, that's its own discussion. But, like, you're not making a run this year. You're not. I'd like to, but without Jalen Johnson, that's not in the discussion. We're also going to talk later in the show about Trey being an all-star. Well, Trey not being an all-star, I guess, is how I should have phrased that. We all feel that Trey is worthy of the all-star game. I certainly do, but once again, he was, and if you want to call it a snub, call it a snub. We're going to talk about it in our next hour as well, because I've got some changes I'd like to make to the All-Star process. Unfortunately, when I broke it down, like in my head, and it's all hypothetical, I think Trey still would have missed. Like I want to make some changes, and I have a suggestion. But even with my suggested adjustments, I think Trey still misses the All-Star game. And so there really is no perfect answer to this. Obviously, leaving it up to the coaches is a debacle. I think we understand that. Giving it all to the fans, it becomes some weird popularity contest to see which city runs the best campaign for their players. And so that's kind of a mess as well. There's got to be some combination of the players, the coaches, the fans, the media. Like, there's not really a good answer to this, but I think any way you slice it, which is unfortunate, like, Trey's getting left out. And it shouldn't be the case. I mean, I just sat there last night and watched him drop another, what do you have, 30 and 15 last night? Again, came up a little short, and that's part of the issue as well. I don't have a great answer, unfortunately, for Trey. Team's got to win more games. Like, that's the obvious answer. Like, if this was a top five team in the East, he probably is an all-star. So there you go. Atlanta United continues their exhibition season. We're going to be joined by Jason Longshore at 5:20. Talk about this win over Birmingham. Also, certainly, the reintroduction of Miguel Almiron and what else is to come for the United offseason before preseason, whatever you want to call it. They're starting later this month, but they are not done making moves, so we'll talk about that. Georgia gets crushed by Alabama, number four Alabama on the road yesterday, but Georgia Tech got a nice win over a ranked Louisville team, number 21. They won by 7. Been a tough year for the Yellow Jackets, but they did get a win there. Again, the news of the day certainly is Anthony Davis and Luka Doncic swapping teams. We're going to talk more about that here on the other side. It's Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios, the Abe TL Show. I had a lot more Hawks that we were going to discuss, but just by basis of how big and really how shocking the news was. We're going to continue the discussion about the NBA. It really, again, long-term, we'll see. This may be the most significant trade in the last 15 years. And I know you could probably pinpoint like a couple of trades that maybe led to titles ultimately, but this is a wild one, and we're going to break it all down next. I got Eric Slaughter with me. He's going to chime in as well. It's Abe Gordon here live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game, the Abe TL Show. Just getting started here till 6 o'clock. I got the Pro Bowl on. Man, I watch a lot of sports. I watch a lot of bad sports. This thing is unwatchable. Like, it's completely unwatchable. They're doing some punt thing, but like earlier they were actually playing flag football. It's unwatchable. They got to figure that out. The NBA All-Star game, obviously, it's a little more watchable, but like barely. They got to figure that out. Even the three-point contest has kind of lost a little bit of luster. I don't know what about the three-point. Maybe it's definitely like too many new things we don't need. Remember they had like that extra ball, the Mountain Dew ball or Sprite ball or whatever it was. That's like a five-point ball from, you know, Dame Lillard jurisdiction. Like, I don't need that. I don't need the rack of full money balls. Like, just what we grew up on, man. Five racks, five balls, one money ball to end it. Head-to-head, let's roll. And by the way, I want to go back to where they have to shoot at the same time. One on one end, one on the other end. Split screen it, and let's go. No one cares about a skills contest or whatever they're doing, where they pass, dribble, and shoot. No one cares about the shooting stars teamwork nonsense. And then, yeah, like we'll watch the dunk contest, but like, what are we doing? Mac McClung is what we're doing. Couple of rookies who I've never seen dunk in game. I'm sure they have. I haven't seen it. Now, I am one who, like, everyone wants to be like, just put money out there, man. The stars will play for money. I'm like, if you're that big of a star, like if you're Ja Morant, Do you know how big the reward would have to be for you to end? Like, you're making like $300 million, right? Or whatever his deal is. And I was thinking about this. Like, the downside of losing a dunk contest is almost worse than the positive upside. Like, no one's going to be like, you remember when Ja Morant won the dunk contest? Like, it doesn't feel like that anymore. But you might be like, you remember when Ja Morant lost the dunk contest to a G Leaguer? Like, the upside's not really there. So unless you could get all-stars, where it's like, and I don't mean all-stars, but I mean all of the dunkers are stars, to the point where there's not really shame if it's, I don't know offhand, like the game's best in-game dunkers, but Ja Morant and, I don't know, Jalen Johnson, if he was ever healthy, and whatever. Like, something where it's not like a disgrace to lose. You can't go out there and lose to Mac McClung. Be like, yo, you're Ja Morant. Like, there's no benefit there. So I don't think just like a $3 million prize for the winner is going to be enough. Anyways, we are talking about NBA, and it's still, like, I had a whole 11.5-mile trail race today. I was running for just under 2 hours, and, like, the whole time I was sitting there and thinking about this trade. Like, it really helped, if we're going to be honest. Like, it really helped to zone me out, and I'm just considering different things that could have happened to get to this point. And I'm trying to come up with a defense for the Mavericks side of this, and I couldn't come up with one. I was thinking for 2 hours, up and down Red Top Mountain, all over that area, for almost 2 hours, I was sitting there and thinking, what are the Mavericks doing? I couldn't come up with a good answer. Like, that's not, it's not good. Like again, ultimately, I guess we have to wait to know who, quote, won the trade. But what are the discussions today? Can the Lakers win this year's title with Luka and LeBron? And obviously, this is assuming Luka at some point recovers from his calf injury and plays. By the way, it'd be hilarious if he plays the very next game for the Lakers and he was just not playing for the Mavericks. Anyways, you know what discussion we haven't had? Does Anthony Davis elevate the Mavericks to title contenders? Why haven't we had that discussion?
We haven't. I'm sure several other markets have.
No, they haven't. They
haven't.
You think so? I listen. Not really. But they haven't. You know why they haven't?
Why?
Because it's not a real discussion. You know why it's not a real discussion? Because you lost the trade. That's how I know you lost the trade. Only one city is talking about, does this help our title chances? And I don't care that, what's his name, Nico Harrison? I put it on here somewhere. The GM for the Mavericks, quote, defense wins titles. That was his defense of, like, adding Anthony Davis is one of the better defenders in the NBA, and defense wins titles. What is this, Rip Hamilton and the Pistons? Like, no, it doesn't.
I think Dallas, with him and Derek Lively roaming the paint together now, if you got a healthy Kyrie, who now is the undisputed back guard of that team,
right?
I think that could be a lethal team in the playoffs.
Well, look, here's the good news. Their odds went from 9-1 to 28-1. I think that's what I wrote down somewhere.
Man.
The Mavericks were 9-1 with Luka on that team. They are now 28-1 to win the title. What does that tell you about at least how Vegas views their chances?
Yeah, the experts think they did it.
And the Lakers go from 25-1. They're now 10-1.
That's ridiculous.
I don't make the lines. I'm just repeating what I saw today.
That's a sucker's bet. They're like, yeah, come on, bet on LeBron. Come on. Give me all your money. Give it to me. I'll take it.
If Luka plays and is healthy, they have a much better shot.
Big ifs.
Sure. And that's part of it. They have a much better shot to win the championship now, the Lakers do now, than they did before.
I'd bet a beer with anybody out there that wants to bet that the Dallas Mavericks go further in the Western Conference playoffs than the Los Angeles Lakers do.
You think the Mavericks will go further?
Absolutely.
And part of it's obviously going to depend on matchups and some of that stuff as well.
The Dallas Mavericks go further in the
Western Conference. So here's the background of this, and I was kind of looking into it, it gets worse and worse, everything I see or read about this deal. The Mavericks essentially lost faith in Luka Doncic. They don't believe they can, quote, reach him to kind of get him to change his ways, essentially, as it relates to being a top pro, as it relates to his health, as it relates to his diet. And you do kind of wonder a little bit if LeBron can maybe get that going a little bit more. But this feels, honestly, this is complete malpractice as a GM. It really is. The Lakers didn't reach out at all about a deal. The Mavericks reached out to the Lakers. They're the only team that they approached. How is that the only team you approach? To get Anthony Davis? That's it? By the way, doesn't he have like a contract coming up? Like, you might just not have Anthony Davis in a year?
No, I couldn't believe that. But I mean, Anthony Davis is a walking 25 and 10, 15 guy. The other night, he dropped like 40 and 20.
Yeah, he can be good. He can also be hurt, too. Like, I'm not exactly sold on him. The way I look at it here, it feels like it's an emotional decision made in the spur of the moment that you're going to regret. It feels like this was a bad tattoo. And, like, in 2 weeks, the Mavericks GM is like, man, really wish I hadn't gotten that bad tattoo. Really don't want to spend the rest of my life with this tattoo. That's what trading away Luka Doncic feels like. It was just, we're so fed up that he won't be healthy and he refuses to diet and his conditioning is this, that we're just over it. I'm over it. And so we trade away. I mean, if you want to sit here and like be concerned about his health, fine. But like, this guy's one of the five best players in the world. Like he's a first-team All-NBAer. He leads Slovenia to whatever round they get to in the Olympics. They have no business being there. Like, he's one of the five. When he can play. I don't even say when he's fit. When he can just play.
Right, because 2 years ago he wasn't fit, and he's still dominating.
He's one of the when he can play, he's one of the five best players in the NBA.
Walking triple-double.
He scored 70 on the Hawks without trying.
Mm-hmm.
And you traded them away for...
We won that trade.
Anthony Davis. Like, all right, man.
But as a combination of players, see, this is the bottom line. Just like Trey and DeJounte never worked, I never thought Luka and Kyrie worked. You had two ball-dominant guards who both want the ball in the final seconds.
Then build with Luka.
Oh, I agree.
What are we doing?
I agree. They
and I agree.
There's a backstory here.
What guy's call like a 20?
Call TMZ, call like, Pacers. There's doing? A backstory here that somebody has yet to report.
He's a 24-year-old cat one of the five best players in the world. Mm-hmm. And I respect I respect the heck out of Kyrie.
There's a backstory here somewhere.
Yeah. I think the GM.
It's coming.
Maybe. And that's where this LeBron thing kind of works its way into it, too, is – if they're concerned about his health, if they're concerned that he's not doing what it takes to be or stay as one of the five best players in the world, they felt they needed to separate from him. The other aspect of this is they talked themselves, this being the Mavericks, into we're not giving this guy the supermax this offseason. And so where do we go from there? Because that was part of the discussion, is that they had decided, that the Mavericks, that we're not going to re-up Luka on a supermax. And so if we're not going to do that, where do we go from there? It's interesting, and Eric Slaughter's probably right. I look forward to more coming out on this in I don't know when, in coming days, maybe in the off season, maybe someone's going to get on a podcast and say something dumb. That's how it goes in the NBA now. So I'll await that. By the way, we're still waiting on Trey. He's supposed to put out an episode of his podcast From the Point where he addresses the All-Star snub. So I look forward to that. Speaking of the All-Star snub, we're going to talk about that coming up next, because I have some thoughts. Maybe a way to fix it, but at the same time, I think if you change everything you want, then Trey still gets left out. And I'll tell you what I'm referring to on the other side here. It's Abe Gordon coming to you live from the Kia Studios, the Abe TL Show, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. We'll get back in the Abe TL Show here. We got 2 hours left to go. And do not adjust your radios. The station would like to announce a trade. We have traded Eric Slaughter and a first-round draft pick for Dom Cheroski. Dom has now taken over his first chair. Some call it a fireable offense, but we're going to work our way through it and see what happens in the end. Dom, we were talking, and this conversation kind of continues here, and I do want to get into this Trae Young all-star snub discussion in just a moment. And again, welcome in. It is the ABTL show. Abe Gordon here hanging out with you till 6. But I was talking with Eric Slaughter before he departed, and now Dom is in the chair as well. Just about, I mean, your first reactions to the news are wild, and you were the night owl that you'd be running in them streets. You were awake when it happened, so it was kind of developing in a lot different world for you than it was for me, but just your initial thoughts. And then, like I've said, as this story unravels, and it is going to continue to unravel, it just, to me, it looks worse and worse for the Mavericks, and specifically for GM Nico Wilson, who I had never heard of. That's normally a good thing, I think. But just your thoughts on this from the Mavericks' perspective, the Lakers, wherever you want to go with it.
Yeah, so I was, like I said, I was up, and I got the initial notification on my phone, and I saw the breaking news. And it was funny because at first I thought I had read it wrong. So I was like, that can't be what it said. So let me go back and double check it. And then I saw it, and I was like, traded Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis. So I was like, all right, let me run over to Twitter. Went over, started going through, saw the post and was like, all right, is this the Shams that I follow? Like, make sure it's not like a fake account. And after confirming it, and
I woke up, like, in a stupor. I was like, is it April 1st? What is going on?
I was like,
February
1st,
April 1st?
And, you know, Shams followed up and said, yeah, this is real. This is the full details.
That's how wild it was. He had to clarify multiple times, like, no, guy, like, this
I'm
actually is happening.
I'm not kidding. And immediately, like I said, I read it about 10 times, and each time I read it, I kept on asking myself, why would the Mavericks do this?
Here's the thing. I understand it from one team's perspective.
From the Lakers, totally get it.
But, like, it's at least, like, for the Mavericks, like, you could – and, look, we'll see how the season plays out. Maybe you could sell me on short-term, long-term. But, like, the Lakers, this is obviously a long-term play, right? You're going to have Luka Doncic for the next 10 years, we would imagine, and he – theoretically, will be playing at a high level beyond LeBron. It kind of sets you up with a path and a direction moving forward. For the Mavericks, it's like, all right, like, Kyrie and Anthony Davis are both aging superstars. And look, like, 8 years ago, you pair these two guys and you're in the championship.
Yeah,
but like now, Kyrie might make it to the finals. I mean, from a physical standpoint,
right.
AD probably less than likely. I mean, you're more likely to have Kyrie at the end than AD. Like, it's just,
the
you could try and sell me on short term this season, but even that's kind of a stretch. You've completely wiped out any long term viability for this franchise. I don't know how they move forward when Kyrie breaks down and AD breaks down.
Yeah, because I was like, the Mavs have what would have been a great big three like 5-6 years ago. Like, Kyrie and Klay and Anthony Davis 7 years ago would have been awesome. Now,
one out of every 9 games, Klay goes bananas still. Yeah. And so you just need, like, those 9 to happen in playoffs
and there. But I just, from the Lakers standpoint, I totally get it. And I do think it's interesting how it's being reported that basically no one was involved. No one knew about what was happening. Like, LeBron didn't know.
Yeah.
Luka didn't know. Anthony didn't know. So I understand for the Lakers standpoint, because from what I've seen, it was like the Mavs approached them. So if you're the Lakers, I can understand where it's just like, hey,
I saw that the Mavs approached the Lakers and no one else, which, it just feels like malpractice.
Yeah.
It feels like, but like, again, we'll see. I think obviously the concern for Luka moving forward is not going to be the money. And he's lost the option for a supermax at this point. The Lakers will pay him what they pay him. Something tells me it'll still be a hefty amount. He'll find a way to survive on 300 instead of 345 million or whatever the numbers ultimately end up being. It's just, your concern for Luka is now just, we do need to get this guy at some point to stay healthy. Now, I don't need him healthy for 82 games. Give me 60 games, or I guess you need 65 to win first team All NBA, which, by the way, he keeps winning. he won't be this year because of that, but like, Give me 65 games and be ready for the playoffs. The other thing this does is I do think it gives you at least one more year of LeBron, if not more. LeBron kind of talked for a while about playing with Bronny, and that was a moment. But he also, a couple weeks ago, was like, I don't know, I can play until I'm 45. He's also, like, not slowing down. And having Luka allows him to focus on different aspects of this game. He, for the first time, he has a guy that can actually take over.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's been the premise of, not the first time, but the first time recently.
And also someone who can run an offense. Like, Kyrie's kind of a single, like, trying to get
but
my
even
shot
with
guy.
Even with the Cavs, when Kyrie was really in his prime,
yeah.
Like, it was still LeBron having to take over,
absolutely,
and Kyrie
yeah.
stepped up and hit the shot.
Kyrie
and we
yeah,
know.
Was in clutch time. Yeah.
But, like, it was really, like, Kyrie's run for that team was that shot. Like he really stepped up for that shot, and that was it. But, like, it was still, like, everything was asked of LeBron, and you just finally don't, in my opinion, if he's healthy and can get on the court, finally don't have to ask LeBron for everything. And that's just going to make LeBron so much more dangerous in the moments that he needs to step up.
Would you say this is the first time in LeBron James's career where he has someone who's better than him? At this point in his career, is Luka better than him?
Yeah.
The first time he has
yeah.
a teammate who's better than him.
Only because of age eventually hits everyone. But, like, it was different. LeBron could count on Wade. And
right,
could count
right, right.
on Bosch, mm-hmm. and it was a little bit different then. So he was better than those guys, but
he absolutely and,
he
and
didn't it, have to do everything.
And I think Wade actually was the one who, like, we came out. You know how Wade pushed him and was like, "Hey,
yeah.
like, if we're gonna win, you have to be the guy," and kind of put that in.
Yeah, him. And it's, the LeBron Wade stuff. There's probably a lot of your team, my team
yeah,
stuff. It's like, no, man,
absolutely.
It is actually your team.
Yeah.
Like, I get, I'm the Miami holdover, it's your team, bro.
It's you.
With the exception, by the way, of, like, the U.S. Olympic team.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, obviously LeBron didn't need to do everything there. By the way, and I do want to get into this trade thing. I got Luke Easterling coming up. I might hold this trade discussion until 4:40. Maybe we don't talk about the Super Bowl. Like, who cares? It's a week away. The Pro Bowl sucks. A couple of new additions to the show. Sean Devaney. Is going to join us at 5 o'clock, talk more about the NBA and this crazy deal. Luke Easterling at 4:20, Athlon Sports NFL Draft Analyst, kind of getting our first glance now that the Senior Bowl and the Shrine Bowl and some of these prep games have finished. And then Jason Longshore at 5:20, a lot to talk about there with Atlanta United. And I was having trouble sleeping the other day. I don't know if y'all go down, like, YouTube rabbit holes, but sometimes I'll just, like, scroll. I don't know what the homepage is on YouTube, the For You page
yeah.
or suggestions, whatever
right,
it is. And sometimes I'll scroll for, like, 4 minutes. I'm like, I've scrolled past, like, 300 videos.
Yeah.
I somehow scrolled to a 42-minute NBA video of heat checks where it's just, like, heat checks, and each one gets more wild than the last one. And it started with, like, all right, here's dudes, like, just making three in a row. And then it went to, like, some of the ones that I, like, specifically. Like, I remember when Korver just went nuts
mm-hmm.
and hit five in a row.
Yeah.
Obviously, they had Clay where he took, like, 37 points in a quarter or whatever that record was.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple of them. Curry was doing some wild stuff. Like, Dame Lillard was doing
yes.
some wild
yeah.
stuff. And I'm like, man, like, the heat check. And it made me think back to the Curry Olympic heat check. Now, this was all NBA stuff, so it didn't include that. You know, I still watch a lot of Olympic highlights from the past Olympics. Like, they just pop up on my they do pop up, and I'll go rewatch
yeah.
some of the races. I'm actually watching track and field right now. They got, where are they, Boston or New York, whatever Grand Prix is on. And I'm watching that, Noah Lyles and Quincy Wilson just ran. Remember the 16-year-old 400-meter?
Mm-hmm.
He just dusted a couple dudes indoors. Indoors is not as fun. But I have gone back and watched the Steph Curry heat check in the gold medal game, and it's I've seen guys get hot in heat check, and there's like a there's like a way to take good shots when you're on a heat check, right? Like rolling off of screens or using picks and obviously with Curry, you can dribble to get open, but like the Olympic heat check for Curry is so like disrespectful because they're not good shots.
No,
like
no,
when you take a heat check, like your first heat check shot in the NBA is like, all right, like you're a little bit further than normal, and that's why you're not being guarded. And you hit a shot, right? That's normally the second or third one you make. It's like, all right, you're probably a little further out than you should. Let's see what's going on. Once you drill that, then you get disrespectful with your next shot, where it's just like, yeah, guy's guarding me, but like, whatever, I'm feeling it.
Who cares?
But Curry was just like, I'm just going to like make this guy look dumb with dribbles and just pull up. And then the last one was just like, it's like the all-time worst shot in history to take.
Yeah.
Except it's like...
it's Steph.
By the way, they had one of Curry's all-star heat checks. And it was the one where he just kept... Trey tried to defend him, too, a couple times. It was bad. It was one where he just kept turning around before the ball's anywhere near the rim.
Uh-huh. And just
every single time he since the All-Star game, first off, there's no defense, like it didn't matter, but they were deep, like they were like deep, and he's just like, yeah, still hit it, man. And I'm just like, man, Trey was feeling it the other night too against the Pacers for a little bit. He had a stretch where I'm like, oh, this guy's getting after it. He had a couple of shots where like guarded, defended in the corner, tough angle, and he just put it down, nothing but net. Trey had a really, really good game on Saturday, and the Hawks ultimately lost. And like that little snapshot, and again, we're going to talk about this at 4:40. That little snapshot on Saturday of the Hawks loss to the Pacers is why Trey and the All-Star discussion isn't happening. I think Trey went for what, 30 points, 16 maybe assists. Like it's an absolute All-Star performance from Trey Saturday night, but ultimately, the Atlanta Hawks couldn't pull out the win. They pick up a loss, and it's the biggest reason he's not an All-Star is this team's recent losing streak. And it goes beyond just the recent losing streak, but the biggest reason Trey's not an All-Star is that the team is not winning. If this team was fifth in the East, you're getting Trey and not Tyler Hero. You just are. But they're not. I don't want to look at the standings. I know there are a boatload of games below 500 now. I know they're probably closer to last in the East than fifth. That may not be true. They're close to last because the Wizards, don't they still have like 6 wins? Like Washington still has only 6 wins. Like
Washington is 7-41.
7-41. 7 wins. They must have got one recently. Good for them. Oh, boy. All right.
Two of those wins have been against us.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that part of it. All right? I want to talk about that part of that. Not concerned with who they beat. Talk about that later. All right. Coming up next, Luke Easterling, Athlon Sports NFL Draft Analyst. After that, we will talk about Trae Young and the All-Star process. It's going to be a basketball-heavy show. It has been thus far. And like I said, more to come on Trey and the All-Star snub. More to come from Sean Devaney as we talk about the big trade that shook up the NBA. But coming up next, our first glance at the NFL draft with Athlon Sports NFL Draft Analyst Luke Easterling. It's the Abe TL Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back in the Abe TL Show. Live in the Kia Studios here on a Sunday afternoon. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And the Odyssey app. And by the way, like I kind of mentioned this. I tag my segments, Odyssey app. If you're unfamiliar with the app, you should definitely check it out. Odyssey, the name of our company, AUDACY, Odyssey app. You can find it in the app store. It's a nice little orange-looking logo there. Make sure you download that. You can listen live to us here on 92.9 The Game. You can on demand. You can find the podcast versions of our shows each day. Pretty cool stuff. You can also listen in and I'm not suggesting you do this now. You can also listen in to other Odyssey stations, sports stations around the country. And I've done this before, depending on the news. And I don't know if they're live, but like it would have been amazing to turn on Dallas at like, I don't know, 1 a.m. Eastern time last night and just see, like even Monday. Like, I might listen on Monday morning on my drive into work to Dallas Radio. I love doing that. When something like this happens, I love doing it. Going to be joined here shortly by Luke Easterling, Athlon Sports NFL draft analyst, and kind of feel like it was about time, right? Like, we're in this realm of the Shrine Bowl was Thursday night. The Senior Bowl was yesterday. And obviously the game itself is not as significant as the practice is, but mock draft season is here, and it's kind of time. And you've got a lot of Falcons fans already falling in love with some pass rushers, specifically after one rep. I think you know who I'm talking about. So let's go ahead out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and welcome in Luke Easterling of Athlon Sports NFL draft analyst, and kind of figure out if what we've learned here in the early stages of the process. Obviously, the NFL draft order is now set. Luke, first off, I appreciate you joining me. I want to start with the top three picks. You got the Titans, the Browns, and the Giants. How many of those three do you think are locks to take a quarterback?
You know, I really think the Giants are the only one. To me, and I think that the scenario that would present that is if I'm the Titans and the Browns, it's just not the year to take the best quarterback over the best players. This is not the year to do that, especially if we're at 1 and 2 in particular, because I do think that this class has two players that are, you know, blue chip, elite, you know, talent, you know, level players, and that's Abdul Carter, the edge rusher from Penn State, and Travis Hunter. Who I think is a really good receiver and a really good corner. I don't think he's particularly transcendent at either one of them. The fact that he can play both of them at such a high level is transcendent, so I think that's what makes him really special. Those two in terms of talents, if you're telling me I got to pass up one of those two guys to take Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, I really underwhelmed by that. But if you're the Giants and those two guys are off the board, and now you're talking about, oh, do I take one of those guys over, you know, Mason Graham or Tet McMillan or the rest of that second tier of prospect? Now that's an actual conversation to me. So, you know, the Giants, I think, make the most sense to take the first quarterback off the board. But again, you know, the NFL has told us time and time again that they're willing to overdraft quarterbacks because the position is just too important. And obviously the Titans and the Browns both need upgrades. For different reasons.
Yeah.
But they both could use a quarterback. But that's, you know, that's why there's so much intrigue at the top, because they need quarterbacks. But do you really pass up the actual good, you know, elite players in this draft to draft guys that at this point in the process for me are borderline first round grades?
Here's the problem with everything you just said. And on the surface, I don't disagree with you, but I was asking a coworker of mine about Abdul Carter. And we're like, all right, like this guy might be the number one overall pick. Like, how good would this guy have to be to justify not taking a quarterback? And he says, Myles Garrett. I was like, okay, well, there's a team that has Myles Garrett and they're terrible. And so you do have to do.
Why are they terrible, Abe? Why are they terrible?
Because they don't have a quarterback.
And
so you have to justify, right? Are you trying to take a run at a guy and hope that he's the right guy? If you think he's the wrong guy, is it worth it to skip that? To me, it's also like, as a GM, this is why I can't be a GM here, Luke. I would draft for my job security, which this is a tough discussion, right? You can draft Abdul Carter and still lose your job because he doesn't impact the team enough to not have you dropping out of, you know, drafting in the top 10 next year. Someone else then gets to make the. It's a wild discussion. I don't disagree with you on the quarterbacks, by the way, which brings me to the next question. Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, whatever order you want to order them, are they QB 1 and 2? And if so, who is QB3? Because I know a lot of Jackson Dart conversations are starting to creep up.
Yeah, I think Ward and Sanders are 1A and 1B, depending on and they're so close to me that I think the difference will happen in the interviews. You know, when you get these guys on the whiteboard and you get to talk to them as people, that's what would come down, you know, to which one gets drafted first. It's going to be the behind the scenes stuff and how they connect with a particular team and a scheme and a coaching staff. And so that part will stack the board for the actual league. I would put Ward just barely ahead of Sanders just because I think he's got a little more upside, a little more, you know, dynamic playmaking ability. I think he's a little bit of a better arm. I think he's a little more erratic. You know, I think that the range of outcomes is probably a little wider with him, a little more boom or bust there. But after that, it gets really interesting because, I mean, Jackson Dart's all the rage right now after having a pretty decent week at the Senior Bowl. I think there's a little bit of hyperbole out there in terms of how he played this week. I think he was pretty good. I think he was the best of a very lackluster group of quarterbacks that none of them really jumped out. But I think he and Jalen Milroe are the two that, with Milroe, it's even more boom or bust, where you just, I think the floor is very low, but I think the ceiling is really high if he develops as a passer a bit more, because the arm strength is there and you love the competitiveness. You love the, you know, the intangible stuff as a leader. He's a smart guy and he's obviously an explosive runner. So he's got that in his back pocket to be able to challenge defenses that way. He just needs so much work as a passer, particularly between the numbers, accuracy, consistency, decision-making. And so those things, it's really hard to project a quarterback at the next level. I think Jackson Dart probably has a little bit of a higher floor, maybe not quite as high a ceiling, but I mean, I've seen people tweeting yesterday, like Dan, you know, I can't remember who it was, maybe Dan Orlovsky or somebody was like, Jackson Dart's a top 15 pick or a first round lock or something. I'm like, okay, let's back up a little bit. I think this is what happens every year when it's a weak quarterback class. We always were begging for somebody to jump up there and convince us that they're a franchise quarterback. I don't see anybody like that outside of those top two guys. Doesn't mean they won't go in the first round because they get desperate, but that's how I feel about them.
I got to ask, because I've talked to you, or I've heard from you just now. I've talked to a couple other people. It feels like I'm the only one in this discussion, and I know there's some weakness here. I'll take Quinn Ewers as QB3.
That's fine. That's fine. And again, that speaks to where that tier is, though. Like, if you're going to tell me, if you told me, you know, passionately about Jalen Milroe and why he's QB3, I'd probably agree with you. If you told me the same thing about Dart, I'd probably agree with you. And Quinn Ewers, who I believe is five on my list right now, if you told me he's three, I'm fine with that too. I could see that. But that's what I mean in terms of the separation. There's no, I wouldn't take any of those guys confidently in the first round. You know, if you know, my latest mock draft up at AthlonSports.com right now, I go three rounds, including some comp picks at the end there, and Dart and Ewers sneak into that end of the third round, basically, I think, to the Jets and the Rams. So teams that have older veterans that maybe need somebody at some point. But if you're talking about taking those guys top 15, top 20, man, that is a huge desperation move just because you need something.
Yeah, and again, there's so many quarterback desperate teams. That's the great equalizer, yep, in this draft. It's not just the Titans, the Browns, and the Giants. I mean, you look at the Raiders, you look at the Jets, and there's a couple of other teams out there as well. Luke Easterling of Athlon Sports NFL Draft Analyst joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Luke, a guy that's gotten a ton of pub here in Atlanta, and the Falcons sit at 15. They're kind of not, I wouldn't say in no man's land per se, but obviously, there's some alphas you're not going to be able to get because of where you're drafting. But there's one guy that put out one highlight at the Senior Bowl practice. It is Marshall defensive end Mike Green. And this is a guy that seems to be one of the faster rising pass rush prospects, led FBS in sacks. And a lot of people might have overlooked him because he wasn't, quote, at a big school. He did play against Virginia Tech and play against Ohio State. Had some impact, but not a huge impact there. But I'm a little concerned. Guy puts out one highlight tape and kind of steps away from practice. And it's not even that the NFL scouts themselves are going to judge him solely on that, but the fans have already made up their mind that this is the guy for the Falcons. Do you feel this is a guy that should be a top 15 pick?
Yeah, I mean, in a general sense, I'll caution any fan base, Falcons or otherwise, please, please, at this, especially this early in the process, do not get locked into one player. Please don't do that to yourself. Like, the draft is such a fun time of hope, and there's so many players in this class that can be all pros, that can be Pro Bowl players. And so, you know, one focus that I always take when I'm writing content or writing the draft magazine that we put out is give every fan base a reason to be excited about whoever their team drafts, because you should be. You should never come out of the draft like, oh, my gosh, man, we didn't get any better. Like, there's, you know, I can't believe we passed up. So there's always going to be a reason for you to be happy about who you take. So whether it's Mike Green or not, there's a lot of guys. I actually don't think the Falcons are in no man's land at 15, and it's because this defensive line and edge class is ridiculous. I think there is so much depth to this class. Obviously, there's only one Abdul Carter. But if you're telling me maybe somebody else takes Mike Green and he's not even there at 15, or maybe you pass him up in favor of somebody else. But James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee, I think, has a ton of upside. I love Shamar Stewart out of Texas A&M. The interior defensive line guys, both the Michigan guys, Kenneth Grant might be there in that range. If you need a nose tackle, Derek Harmon from Oregon had a hell of a year after transferring from Michigan State. He was dominant. Whether you need a three-tech, Walter Nolan from Ole Miss, whether you need those big, you know, interior guys, Tyleek Williams from Ohio State, there's so many interior guys of different shapes and sizes, edge guys of different shapes and sizes, that I think the Falcons are going to have plenty of options in that area. Mike Green is a guy that I think if he does go top 15, it's not going to be because of that highlight. It's going to be because he racked up a ton of sacks and he's explosive as heck off the ball. You know, I mean, everybody would love to have Myles Garrett, you know, who, you know, or TJ Watt, guys that can play the run, guys that can impact the game as a pass rusher. Those guys are very rare, and you're probably not going to get them at 15. But that's why guys like Mike Green jump like that. It's not just because of one highlight. It's because they have explosiveness. They can convert speed to power like we did see on that highlight and put, you know, a big offensive lineman who might be a first-round pick and Josh Connerly Jr. on his butt. You know, those things, they're cool, but it's going to come back to the film, and his film is pretty damn good. So I think they're in a good spot. I think Mike Green could go that high, and maybe that highlight, you know, will get shown around. But it's because I think his film is really, really good, and you just can't argue with guys that are that explosive off the ball and can impact the quarterback off the edge like that.
Yeah, and another name you mentioned there, Shamar Stewart, is one that's gotten Falcons fans excited as well. Final question here for Luke Easterling, Athlon Sports NFL draft analyst, and you'll certainly hear him on the show with me a couple of times between now and the NFL draft. Here in Atlanta, Bijan Robinson, top 10 pick a couple of years ago. Ashton Jeanty, and this was a year in which you kind of saw the return of the lead running back. Obviously, Saquon and Derrick Henry. Josh Jacobs had a big season for the Packers. A couple of guys around the league, including Bijan right here. Is Ashton Jeanty trending towards maybe being a top 10 pick?
I think it's possible. And again, that's just because I do think he is that echelon of player. I, you know, there's multiple people that I respect in this business who have him as the next player after Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter on the big board in terms of just an overall ranking of players, regardless of, you know, teams or anything like that. He might be the third best player in this draft. Like, I think he's that special. He's three down back, perfectly built, can run with speed, can run with power, great guy after contact, just always seems to break tackles and break off big runs. He can catch the ball. He can protect the passer, which is actually pretty rare for college running backs. So I think he's in that echelon. The problem is going to be, what team values him enough to take him in the top 10, even 15, without looking at the rest of this running back class, which, if you ask anybody, is one of the deepest running back classes we've had in a long, long time. So it's, the conversation is going to be, do I like Ashton Jeanty enough to take him over another first-round prospect that I really like at another position, knowing that on day two, I'm probably going to be able to find a 1,200-yard rusher who can also catch the ball out of the backfield, and is that gap between those two guys worth it to take Jeanty in the top 10 or 15 versus passing on a, you know, an offensive tackle or a defensive lineman or a corner or somebody that can also make an impact at another premium position, knowing I can get production from a really deep running back class on day two? That'll be the debate.
Luke, we're obviously just getting this process started. Thanks so much for joining us, and we certainly will continue to dive into real specifics as we get closer to the draft. I'll make sure to have you on again. Thanks so much for the time.
Hey, always a pleasure, Gabe. Enjoy your Sunday.
You got it. Luke Easterling, Athlon Sports. You can check out his stuff at Luke Easterling on the Twitter/X and then on Athlon Sports' website as well. All right, Trey was a snub. How do we prevent that from happening? An easy answer and then a much more difficult conversation is coming up next. It's Abe Gordon. The ABTL show rolls on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. You know, the real downside of this Luka Anthony Davis thing breaking overnight is the lack of memes. Because the sports world has given us some of the best meme-worthy moments of all time. And none of them are, like, particularly coming to mind. But, man, there was one early last year. And, I don't remember what it was. But, the meme moments were just classic. I don't remember what it was. But I remember texting Andy and Randy and Bo of the Midday Show. We have a text group. I remember texting them and telling them, you know what it was? It was the Scottie Scheffler arrest.
Okay.
The memes the morning of the Scottie, like, remember it happened at like 7 a.m. or something, 7:30.
Yep.
And like from 7:30 until like noon, like those 4.5 hours of memes were some of the best comedy I have ever lived through. And I just feel like we were deprived a little bit of meme quality with this news breaking overnight. If you somehow missed it, I apologize that I have to be the one to break this to you. Luka Doncic was traded from the Mavericks to the Lakers for Anthony Davis. And there's more names involved, but no one cares about them. Sorry, it's true. But Luka is now with the Lakers, and we'll see how that works with him and LeBron if Luka can get back on the court. Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving, and they gave up a 50-burger in the first quarter today to the Cleveland Cavaliers, did the Dallas Mavericks. So I don't know if they're just never came out of that stupor or what, but they are not playing very competitive
just
today.
Just an update, that game, it is 91-46 at the half.
Oh, I was kind of hoping they'd get to 100. It didn't do it. It's not good. But hey, man, the GM told me Anthony Davis would help fix the defense. So when he gets there, they'll be good.
You're going to be solid as a rock.
Yeah. Yep. I can't believe he said defense wins championships. And I know you're trying to find like the right way to defend making this move.
Gotta cope.
You got to find a way to defend it. I get that. But like, this isn't the 80s NBA. Like, defense very clearly does not win championships. And by the way, if I'm an owner and my GM says defense wins championships, I got some real concerns if this guy knows how to win in the NBA. Like, I know you're trying to, like, find any way to help defend this trade. And maybe the owner's like, I get it. He had to say something. Like, that'd be a real eye scratcher, like an eye razor head scratching moment to where I'm like, I don't think this guy knows how to build a winner. And he just traded away one of the five best players in the league and said that we're better defensively. And by the way, like that goes for here too, like in Atlanta. Like, I would love for the Hawks to be a little bit better defensively, and in stretches, they're good, and they have some players individually who are good. As a team, not great. Like, yeah, that's why they're not winning, but you're not going to win any games 84-81. Now, I will say there were a lot more sub-100 winners in the playoffs. I get that. But, yeah, I don't know if defense wins championships exactly how I how I'd want my GM to be speaking about it. Okay. It got bumped, and we're going to talk with Sean Devaney at 5 o'clock, Jason Longshore at 5:20. So we got some guests coming up, but I want to have this discussion. Trae Young, once again not selected as an Eastern Conference All-Star Reserve. He's the only player in NBA history to average 22 or more points, 10 or more assists, and not be an All-Star. And it's the second time it's happened. It also happened in 2023. Fifth in the fan vote for guards. Three players who were behind him in the fan vote were selected to the All-Star team. And then, obviously, LaMelo Ball, who's now hurt, was first in the fan vote, also left off the All-Star team. So, the question is, what's the continuing argument as to why Trae is not getting the recognition that he deserves? Because He's adjusted the way he plays this season offensively, right? Isn't that part of what we're talking about? He's playing, it's the first year he's playing within the scheme, and the offense runs through him. He's not the only, blah, 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 blah. He's better than he's ever been defensively. And this is a tough argument, because he's never going to be good defensively. You have to understand that. But he's better this year than he's ever been. The last 2 years, by the way, he was pretty into it last year as well. He's not drawing those sorts of fouls that everyone complained about. They're still there. Like, and by the way, that was never an issue for me. Like, don't get behind him. Like, he deserves to be given those fouls. Like, and he does it a lot more at the three-point line when he's about to shoot. Now, he used to do it just, like, at half court and just, like, all right, I get it. But, anyways, Trey's tweet, quote, "It's no longer getting snubbed. It's getting trade at this point. Sorry to my fans. It'll change eventually. We'll talk soon." Will it change eventually? Like, you can say that, and, like, we can all throw our fake, like, little huff here in Atlanta. Oh, Trey is getting ignored. He's getting snubbed. He's getting, ah. And there are a couple of people in a couple of different cities that have the exact same argument, by the way. They should be upset in Charlotte that LaMelo Ball isn't selected. 30 points a game, number one in fan vote, can't get on the All-Star team. Sabonis out there in what, Sacramento? He's probably the second best big man in the NBA, maybe, like behind Joker. Like, I mean, you can make the arguments. Not on the All-Star team. I think Kyrie, considering Luka's been out since Christmas, has done a very good job. Not on the All-Star team. So it's not just Trey. But I also think we can, like, not, like, fall into, like, the lazy, the media hates Atlanta stuff. Like, just win games. Like, when Atlanta was headed towards the one seed, they had five All-Stars. Like, just win games. And I know that's not really necessarily on Trey. It's a whole team, and they've got to do better. But like I said, if the Atlanta Hawks were the five seed, Trey would be in the All-Star game. Winning matters, especially when it comes down to the head coaches who are picking the reserves. Winning matters. Trey's play, unfortunately, this season is not tying into this team winning. I don't think that's a him thing. I think you've lost a number of key participants, right? Obviously, Jalen Johnson, the big one. Bogdanović has never really been there this year. I mean, he's been playing off and on, but he hasn't been himself. I don't know what's going on with him. He was great at the Olympics. He has not been himself. And so, the other thing is Trey, snubbed for the All-Star game, also is not in consideration for the Olympic team. There is a disconnect between what Trey does on the court and the coaches, and how they view him. Here's the thing for me. I don't care, man. And I'm not trying to stain Trey's legacy. Like, Trey, every year to me, should be in the All-Star game. Like, every year he's that good. And he's one of the very few guys. And, yeah, I say this as a Hawks fan, a guy that sees him, but, like, as a guy that I think I would watch if he were elsewhere, and I would tune in to see him, he is a draw, in my opinion. And so I do think he should be in the All-Star game. But there's clearly a disconnect between what he does and how the fans view him and what he does and how the coaches view him. And that's why he's not in discussion for the All-Star game, not in discussion, unfortunately, for the Olympic squad either. Now, I had this idea. Everyone was trying to come up with, like, all right, how do you fix the voting? Here's what I came up with. And unfortunately, I still think Trey would not be an All-Star if this were the adjustments that are being made. I would change the voting process. And I think for those involved, the commissioner, the head coaches, the players, the media, change who gets blamed for these guys, right? Because we're blaming the coaches and we're blaming the commissioner and we're blaming the process. Here's what I would do. The list of All-Star reserves is chosen by the media, players, and coaches, and the fans get to vote from that list. It'd be a decently lengthy list. every name that you could possibly imagine that would be, quote, snub territory is on that list. And the fans then vote them in as all-star reserves. Now, I still don't think Trey would make the list. But the biggest thing about Trey being a, quote, snub is that you have the opportunity to be mad at one aspect of NBA life, the coaches in this situation. If you have a list of 10 reserves and the top five vote-getters make it and Trey doesn't make it, who are you mad at? The fans who didn't vote.
Yep.
And so it probably doesn't do much to change who will actually make the All-Star team. It changes where the blame falls. Trey was fifth from fan votes. Would he make it as an All-Star reserve? Maybe. Maybe not. That's what I would do.
Because I was going to say, at the very least, if you're the NBA, it at least
it changes who you blame.
Yeah.
You don't get it pointed back at you.
Exactly.
That's the difference. Maybe Trey would make it. Maybe he wouldn't. Now, I do think, like, you get into dangerous territory anytime it becomes a popularity contest. Like, Bronny James got votes. Like, I get it. And there is a part of this where it's like, all right, man, like, one city finding a better way to get their fans to vote than another city shouldn't be what decides the All-Star team. But, I mean, obviously the coaches deciding it opens yourselves up to just be yelled at and negativity from various cities and fan bases around the league. At least this would remove being mad at the coaches and being mad at the league. You can only be mad at the fans.
Yeah, fans,
and that's a win-win for the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Blame the fans. You guys should have voted them in. We gave you the opportunity. Your reserves, and you didn't choose them. That's the only way I could see this going. It just changed who the villain is as to why Trey is snubbed. Or potentially he doesn't continue to get snubbed because the fans vote him in because they want to see him because they look at him as a draw, which is how I'd look at him. All right. More NBA coming your way. Again, it's going to be a busy 5 o'clock hour. Sean Devaney, NBA analyst, columnist for Heavy.com, is going to join us here next. After that, Jason Longshore, Atlanta United broadcaster and analyst, is going to chat about what's been going on. A lot of news for Atlanta United. Then we'll wrap the show up with my guy, Bo Johnson, who's going to be hanging out starting at 6 o'clock. It's Abe Gordon here, live in the Kia Studios. Make sure you hit me up on Twitter, at Abe Gordon. Coming up next, Sean Devaney of Heavy.com on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.